Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, if you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. And, of course, our phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Jim. Jim.
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
Good morning. Great. How are you doing today?
Fine, thanks. I just wanted to thank Kevin Miller for acknowledging me as your number one fan last week.
That's right. He did.
Of course, there are a million Jims out there, so he might have met somebody else.
I'm pretty sure he met you. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And I'll mention Terry. Terry usually follows me, so.
There you go. Terry does call in a good bit, too. Yes, yes.
At least you have some sort of a fan base.
Right, right. Well, I didn't even think about that, but that's very nice of you to be.
And we're all loyal stockholders, and the ups and downs make it exciting, you know?
Well, they give us great opportunity. I was thinking about this actually yesterday. It was yesterday. And how we were having a discussion. I was having a discussion with a very, he's been a long-time listener. He's probably listening right now. But a very thoughtful doctor, and he was we were just talking in general terms about, you know, well, what would you do with money, you know, at this time, and so on and so forth, and it was just a great conversation, but we also dove into the how can we not own Microsoft off $40. We all think about, you know, or Apple and Amazon. I mean, the list goes on and on of companies that were down 25% to 40% that are great companies that in fact benefit from a crisis like this, right? I mean,
yep.
Where people are stay at home, Microsoft's going to have more data stored on the cloud. That's where they make tons of their money. You know, all those things, right? When we're stuck at home, that's technology, and they're also creating and innovating much more things like the Zoom meetings and all that. The world is more quickly changing to be there. World, right?
Yep.
And so that is a benefit, but we have the opportunity to pick them up on sale for absolutely no reason at all. Companies we actually the day before would say things like, I would love to own Amazon if I could only get it to dip, right?
Right.
And it does. It doesn't dip. It really dips, right? And instead of like, I would have bought it 5-10%, but now we're in a pandemic, so I don't know. I don't know. Even though I could get it for 25%, I don't know. I don't know.
I did get some Cisco, but I wanted to mention a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned Doctor. A couple of weeks ago, Doctor called in reacting to my my comment that the medical industry was just in it for the money, keep people alive. Anyway, I thought that was kind of cute.
Well, so, and that's, you know what, I think it was, you know, if I'm going to be completely honest here, Jim, I think I understand you. I don't know you, but I understand and think you're a nice person. And
I'm cynical.
And you
I'm
didn't,
cynical.
Right, and you are cynical, yes. But I don't think you meant in any way to insult a guy's profession. I don't think so, because obviously they save lives.
It's just that the circle of life, and there comes a point where, you know, to keep people alive forever, what can you do? What can you say?
No, I understand, and it is, but it's a slippery slope, as we talked about a month ago, or what it was. It's a very slippery slope, and understanding that they live their life to save lives, and then figure all that stuff out is society's issue, not the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
And they are saving lives. There's no doubt about it. But anyway, well, that's good. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I'm still, as far as I know, virus-free. You know, the thing is, we were talking about, for instance, airlines, right? I mean, we're going to be real screwed because nobody's going to want to fly, because what they're going to start doing is to be ultra sure they'll take people's temperature before they get on a plane, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you got a runny nose. Maybe you got a little bit of temperature. You're screwed.
Yeah, it is. And I mentioned this, too, because it just popped in my head when we were talking about that with Kevin here a couple of weeks ago, when we're talking about, yes, when you get on an airplane. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to go to New York for, you know, make it up, Goldman Sachs conference, right? I'm not going to do that if when I get back home or I have to come back home and I've got a whole schedule of things to do, I might have spiked a fever Not that I have COVID. I mean, gosh, of course you don't want to run around spreading that. But I could have just spiked a fever for who knows why. I had a bad tortilla, you know? Yeah. And you don't know why. And now you can't get on the plane and get home or get on to your next thing. It is people won't go if there's a chance they can't get back.
I know. Now, where do we draw the line, or how do we do that?
Totally, I get it. I'm just saying that there are unintended consequences. Oh, make it safe to fly. Now nobody will fly.
You know, one news story I heard that they were investigating dogs. Now, we know that dogs can sniff out cancer.
Yeah.
Dogs may be able to sniff out this sort of thing.
Well, that's a good point. It's a good point. We need those therapeutics, though. Jim, thank you. You have a good day.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Obviously, you hear the news. We will be back after Fox News at the top of the hour for hour two. Hello and good morning, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two upcoming. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. We may mention a stock or an area of investment that's interesting. We may pan it. We may love it. It has nothing to do with what you ought to be doing with your portfolio. We use them as examples to teach. I'm not telling you what's hot, what to buy, and sell. That's asinine. It really is. It leads us further from the truth. As I was talking about, the more activity you have with your account, the worse you will do. I'm sorry to say, it's if you want to play. Just call it what it is. I like guessing red or black. I like gambling. That's fine. I hope you do it with very little amounts of money. With your serious money, you are serious. Long-term, serious-minded, want to do it right. When we talk about putting stuff away, it doesn't mean you are always going to get it right. You might want to buy the high-quality companies. You might want to add to positions when markets are in turmoil like they had been. We obviously are back near our highs, and certainly on the NASDAQ you are. And that's why it's great to be ready, and you'll never get the bottom. And that's one of the things that's so hard for people. It's hard for me. I'm not dismissing the fact that I'm a human being. We all are. So when we talk about that, we're not dissing an individual. We're saying our own human bias makes it very difficult for us to do the kind of things you ought to be doing in investing. And when we take a step back, we think like a Vulcan, back to Star Trek, and we think just purely logic. You would want to buy things when they're low, not high. You would never sell after something fell. That would be foolish. And we feel terrible when we buy something that we think is on sale and then they mark it down more. Oh, now I know I didn't get a good deal. That's how we feel. You can't stop that. You can only do it and realize you never get to pay the lowest price. You never get the lowest trade. Certainly not with all of it. Right? You might scale into a position and boom, I mean, within a little bit, you hit the bottom with one of your buys. Congratulations. With that one buy. But you just have to kind of like do it and know that tomorrow it's going to go lower. There's no reason it isn't going to go lower. But then if you don't do it, it takes off. You miss it. It's just really training, right? We're all the same. It's very difficult. And it really helps me, I hope it helps you, to get back to basics. To think about it. Because when we think about it correctly, we think about investing correctly, we have a 100% chance of success. Really. Historically speaking. You've never, ever, ever, over long periods of time, not had a great experience. Unbelievable experience. Better than any other investment on the planet, not even close. In the United States stock market. But we are pulled and pushed, prodded, enticed, scared constantly. Fear is a great motivator. Much greater than optimism about the future. So much greater, people cannot They cannot see past the bad news of what's ever in the newspaper today. It's far too logical for them. And it is. It's so much easier to fall to the dark side. It is. There's no question about it. Far easier. It's logical. It's logical when people say, really smart people, that QE1, the government's just printing money and we're going to have runaway inflation. This is totally logical. Instead of, well, we'll see. It's going to work out. I think it will. We have to save the financial system first. Once that's accomplished, let's see what we've got. No, it's going to be runaway inflation. So they told you that. They told you that when we had the pandemic the first time. Oh, yeah, that's right. What pandemic? We don't have pandemics. We just have this one. It'll never go away. It won't go away for 2 years. We'll never have a vaccine. It takes years. You can't get on an airplane because we don't have a vaccine. We've got to have 1 million tests. Go on. Tell me how it won't work. That's easy. It's always easy. And, you know, it's data-driven. It's science. It's all the things that you want to be. Smart. And sound really smart as you scare the socks off of people. Congratulations. You've restated the headlines, you genius, you. And never really looked at it any depth. This goes on all the way through, and it's so recent, I like to look at it once in a while. Again, back to basics. Do you remember Meredith Whitney? I do. She scared a lot of really old people out of their municipal bonds when they were yielding 5 and 6%. Oh, yeah, that we didn't have the municipal bond crisis that she told everybody on 60 Minutes we were going to have. That's all right. I'm sure she got millions of dollars, even though we don't hear about her anymore because, well, she was wrong too many times. Obama's going to kill us. All right. He hurt the country. No doubt about it. He definitely did. There's no question about it. The economic policies were permanently slowing us down. But it was temporary. On top of that, he still couldn't take down the ingenuity, the ability to change. Even with the highest corporate tax structure in the world, American corporations innovated and adjusted and led the world. But how many times did you hear people talk about since 2008, you got to get out? Because of the politics. And today, if you happen to be on the left, how many people told you since 16 that the dangerous orange man was going to kill us all? You got to stay out. I sure heard it from people, clients that wanted out because of the orange man. Not because of the pandemic that was certain to happen. We went through this piece by piece. And what we end up doing as humans, unfortunately, is discarding it. Like, yeah, that didn't happen. Yeah, that didn't happen. Yeah, that didn't happen. And the list goes on. I'm just looking at a chart of how the Dow Jones Industrial Average, I'm sorry, the S&P 500, virtually the same. From the peak in 2007, went from $10,000, cut in half, as we know, and 10 years later is worth $21,000. There are dozens of reasons on here not to do anything. And there were thousands and thousands and thousands of reports out there telling you why. With ISIS making a comeback, with QE1 and 2 and 3 ending, that it was now over, that this was all Fed-induced. The corporate profits, somehow, the corporations had, they weren't actually real. And the dividends they sent to your bank account, not you couldn't buy anything with those, actually, apparently. Okay? It was because it was all Fed-induced. it goes into everything. If it's oil collapsing, it's oil collapsing, right? But that's going to cause this incredible circle of events. And then they turn around and say, because oil prices collapse, think about this just now, right? Just now, and how news is reported. Oil prices collapsing sent the Dow Jones Industrial Average down. Whoa. Oil price collapsing. And then you, like, breathlessly the next day, oil prices rising caused the stock market to collapse. What? You can't say the opposite thing every day and then tell people this is the reason why. It's not. Sometimes it's not even an explainable thing, or it's an irrelevant thing. But everything's breathless in its reporting now. I mean, what are they going to say? Basically, for all of your long life, the market's moved around, squiggled a little bit, but gone up 10% a year on average. Although it never, almost never does anything near 10, and causing lots of people to freak out and be weird about it and just not get 10. It's done 10 your whole life. Thanks for tuning in to our business channel. That wouldn't be news, would it? We have to talk about option trading and the people putting on long, short collars, and then there's mad money, there's crazy money. What do you like? Bing, bing, boom, 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 bye, 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 sell, sell, sell. Insanity. Oh, well, it's just, you know, it's entertainment. No, it's not entertainment. It leads people from the truth. So not just a waste of time, it's a complete deflection of our proper energy. And we think about this. I do all the time about how QE1 and 2, none of them were going to work. The Dodd-Frank bill was going to just destroy all of the banks. They figured out a way to adjust, and there were some rules that were changed. When the Russians stood up and Obama did nothing, it looked like Russia was going to be another superpower again. And then Brexit. Remember the disaster Brexit was going to be? I kind of thinking I want to invest in Britain now, don't you? I mean, it's not like, oh, we did Brexit, and now Britain's been the greatest investment in the world. That's not what I'm saying. But they far from crashed. Far from crashed. We had a tremendous bull market until we got hit with a pandemic, in spite of all of that. In spite of all of it. It's always a disaster. It's always the world is ending. And we have to bear that in mind as we try to think about how do we want to govern our investments going forward. If we don't look back and learn by how wrong everything is, the predictions of doom and gloom are just plain wrong. And I don't mean wrong most of the time. They're always wrong in the long run. Always. And we just don't ever stop to contemplate, because talking about and scaring people is easy. It works. It sells the most unbelievably bad products in the world. And it has for all of history. Commodities, it's done that. Gold, hide it all in gold. We've got this trading scheme over here. You go to a seminar and they pimp you an annuity and you're stuck in it. You can't ever win. But if you want your money back out, you can't get it without a big loss. Nobody would buy products like that if they weren't fearful. Today's fears sound very logical. But if you kind of grasp the basic thing, I'm just taking an extra couple minutes here. I know we got to go to a break, but everybody's wired differently, and I totally get that, okay? I totally get. If you'll just bear with me for a second here, I don't mean this in any prideful way, but I have been given a gift of optimism. That's what I honestly believe. It's a gift from God. And other people I know don't have that. They have gifts I don't have. That's for sure. But I don't take any pride in it. It's just it's a simple fact to be able, as an optimistic person, I'm certainly far from the only person, to say and have an initial reaction that this is going to be okay. It may be painful right now. It may not be any fun. And in fact, in some cases, people might die. But this is not the end of the world. Is a gut reaction. Not, oh my gosh, I need to figure out more about how we're going to die, which is an honest, truthful reaction for many people. And they just get in it, right? I mean, there's entire networks. MSNBC, I don't think they say anything good about anything. Do they ever? Is there anything positive? Right? There's not. There are no good stories. Ever. It's 24/7, hate Trump. That's it. So you're never going to get a good story. That strikes me as really stupid to watch. But it certainly can't help people. It can't. It can't. It keeps them deeper in that panic mode, right? So when we go back and we look at things like this, it's really, to me, is super important to really grasp all these dozens of reasons why you should not have owned stocks during the greatest bull run in history. And they were loud. They were really loud. Why? Because they had a tailwind from 2008. And the media was complicit. Totally. They love it. Love a bad story. Good stories don't sell. It's a fact. So when we think about where we are, how we're wired, and it's okay if you're arguing with me. It's okay. Yelling at the radio. It's totally, I wouldn't call it therapeutic, but it's okay. I get it. It's easier to be negative about what is factually happening right now than to believe it will work out. It's easier. But I assure you this. If you don't fight that, you can't win. You have to fight it. You have to fight through it, whether it's with the logic of the fact that the market always rebounds. If you look at it as a logic of all of the things that all of these scaremongers have told you all through history have not been true. The world is not orange. It's cleaner than it's ever been. Sorry, that's not an I hate the environment statement. That's but we live in such a political world. Making a statement like that would then all of a sudden put me in this like nutball category that, well, I don't really care. I'd like to just dump my oil into the rivers. That'll be just fine. No. But to not acknowledge that technology and some of the environmental rules have helped to make this a cleaner world than we ever thought, and we grew up knowing it would be orange. That's what we were taught. That was the fact. We were taught we were going to run out of oil, but we don't. And then we're taught but we need to panic about the fact that we have oil stacking up everywhere, and that's going to take the whole world down. What? It doesn't matter what happens. A, we're going to die. B, we're going to die. C, we're going to die. It all goes on that way. And we sometimes just have to take all that evidence and go, it just is all wrong. It's just wrong. And we need to flow with that. We really do. And if we can't, we have to try to understand and get past our own inborn negativity. We were born fearful. We're just not born all the same. But we're all born to be aware of what can kill us in the jungle. And that does not help us in investments. And until we recognize that, it's hard. We think we are being afraid because of logic rather than a lizard brain. Just a plain old lizard brain. Duh. I just want to have sex and I want to make sure I don't get eaten. That's we've evolved a little past that, but we still have that basic lizard brain. And it does not help us to understand how wrong this is. And we can't know the future, but we can sometimes accept the simple fact that it's going to get better. And the problems we have today will roll into different problems, but we will resolve the problems we have today. It's important to fight the good fight. Incredibly important. Fight for what's right. Fight. But not to be pessimistic about our future. It doesn't help with investments. I'm pretty sure it also doesn't help us be better people. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We've got to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to Terry, Lijo, and whoever else. We'd love to hear from you. 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Our number here is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I hope you all are doing well. And you know, it's busting out, isn't it, right? There was real traffic on the roads yesterday and more every day. It's people are busting out. Not just here. They're busting out everywhere. It feels good, doesn't it? It really feels good. We've been shut down for a long time, but it's changing. It's happening. And I know some of you who are nervous to come out, that's okay. It's a personal choice. It really is. And I just hope that people don't get overly afraid and confused, depressed in this isolation. It's been a tough time on particularly the most vulnerable people. It's really tough. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Terry, how are you today?
Well, good morning, Professor. How you doing?
I am very well. I am better than I deserve, as they say, and all that good stuff. I don't know why. I woke up today just happy as a clam. I couldn't believe it. I was glad. I think part of it was I was happy I could move, because I will just quickly tell you that I helped my daughter move into a new house, which is so exciting for her. It's just a new time in life for her, and so it's exciting. Wonderful to be part of that, but lifting furniture for an old guy is not easy. And then trying to saw branches with a 20-foot pole saw, that was tough. So I was glad to be able to move.
You can hire professionals for that, you know.
Some of it you can, some you couldn't. We tried. It's an isolated thing that, anyway, there's no way to get to it, and that's the hard part. So there you go.
Well, I am duly impressed with the influence you have in the world.
Are you?
Well, a couple of weeks ago when I called in asking about my welfare recovery check.
Yes, it showed up.
On Wednesday, so you are good.
Couple of calls, you know, it took care of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Called the president, he took care of it. Yeah. Called a couple of people. Yeah.
But then, and the happy thing, we used to talk about it, your default switch. Mm-hmm. Some people have it set to the happy, some people have it to the pissed off. You just have to deal with whatever their default switch is set to.
It's true. I know. It is. And it's, you're right. And we have to deal with that in other people. But I, you know, that's kind of hard. We deal with that, yes. But I can't change you. I can't fix you. But I can hopefully.
Nobody, they've been trying to fix me for years, sir.
Isolation does that, huh?
Anyway, you keep bouncing up a myriad of questions every time I listen to you trying to form my own question before you get there.
Yeah.
But with everything that's shut down and all the government functions that are not happening and all of the school property taxes that are not getting spent except on normal stuff, has anybody ever thought to propose a rebate for what we're not getting because of the COVID, or are they just pocketing this money and putting it in a different account to spend later outside of what normal accounting procedures with the government?
Right, right. No, there's going to be a shortfall. And I do think part of it, now I'm going to, this was not the verbiage, right? Okay, that the governor said, but I think that there's going to be a 10% to 20% cut in education next year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think part of that has to be factored in that they didn't have to spend as much money on certain things. But the reality is with education, we all know that it's, what, 90% or whatever is for salaries, which nobody took a cut.
No. For every assistant principal.
Nope. Government never takes a cut. They keep working. And that's part of the problem, isn't it, really? It's like, I'm not saying they should. I'm just saying it is part of the problem.
I will
because
say they should.
Well, that's fair, too. I agree. There are areas that should. But at the same time, what I am saying is it is always the brunt of the private sector. If you have government work, you have a government job, you are basically going to get paid for life. That's what you're looking for.
Yep.
And in the private sector, people are not looking for that kind of security, and they don't get it. It's a different ball game. But when we go through crises and we think about lockdowns and shutdowns and how they affect other people, it's very unfortunate to me that the very people who are still being paid to do, you know, to not create things in the society, but dictate the laws, don't take a hit.
Yeah.
Now,
and that one of the things I heard the other day that about 40% of the families that have kids at home with the homeschooling are saying, "Hey, this works pretty good. We're going to keep doing this homeschooling thing."
Yeah.
And now there's butts that are not in seats at school that they can't get credit for.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be fun to watch the demise of the many prisons that the kids have to go to.
Well, you know, Terry, I've been, as you know, for a long time screaming and yelling about the fact that that education is the same. They teach the same. You stand up in front of a group of 25 students and teach the same way they did 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, that's moronic. No other business does that or gets away with it. Or the fact that the kids don't learn as much as they did 20 years ago. The test results not improving. Everything in the entire world is improving. But not that. And so there is a fundamental problem. And so for me, the dismantling of it, all these other experiments that are going on is a good thing. It doesn't mean education goes away at all. I just want to see it improve and not be governed by let's not change anything, unions. That is, to me, a functional problem of what's happened in education. This is going to, like with many industries, hasten the change that's coming. Like in retail, it's like Amazon is doing fine and retail's dying. It already was, right?
Right.
This
if they
is
would have taught some Hayek to some people along in the schools, they'd know about creative destruction.
Right. Exactly. And they would and should. And we've seen some experiments, right, within school districts, in different states that are trying different things. When they work, we should embrace them. But doing some things online in addition to, I think that's a trend that is coming. And in higher education, they're not going to be able to get away with $30,000, $50,000 a year tuitions. They just aren't. They weren't going to, but this is, again, going to quicken that trend. So that part of it's good. I'm not trying to put a silver lining on a COVID crisis, but crisis always brings change more quickly.
Yeah, we're presiding over the finalization of the dying, and we're not talking about people here, being crude and whatnot, but we're talking about the businesses that we should have let die years ago.
Right.
We
right.
don't have something that's too big to fail. We have something that should fail, and then we can go fix it.
Right. Right. And this is true, and as we see on the New York Stock Exchange, we see it through all kinds of businesses, to your point. There are many, many things that are changing more quickly because of crisis. But this was a switch that was happening anyway. People staying at home. Commercial real estate, $80 a square foot in downtown Chicago. Stuff like that is just not going to be sustainable.
Yeah. One more thing. Thanks for the picture of Charlotte, and tell Erica, to be safe and healthy.
Oh, she's doing great. We finally got to see her, like the first time in 2 months, right? She's doing great, but thank you.
Pass
it on.
Well, you take care, sir.
Terry, you do the same. Thanks for your call.
All right, bye.
Bye. And our number is 580-KIDO. Hang on, Lee Joe. All right, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, thanks for holding. You've been very patient today. Thank you.
Oh, it was quite entertaining and on the hold. Everything's good. What was my question? That's what it happens when you hold for too long. Real quick PSA.
Yeah.
Judge, I just got this off the Secretary of State's office, the Secretary of State has to extend ballot requests till the 26th.
Mm, okay.
So you can still request your ballot again if you failed the first time.
Gotcha. Well, good to know. Thank you.
And so my question for you is the entrepreneurial spirit at the moment. We created a third-class business and a third-class citizen with this mandate and, you know, the market disruption that it caused. And do you think now that the governor and government has taken power over businesses that an entrepreneur will, you know, if their business just got shut down and what have you, are people going to be willing to go into business again, to spend money on a business when it can be eliminated by the pen stroke of a government authority?
No, those types of that is always the risk, right? It is a people don't realize that, well, we don't like this anymore, and then bam, what it can do to all industries. And that is no, the answer is no, of course not, if they can take it away. This is just a classic study of right and wrong in the world with having rule of law, okay? So you have to have if you don't have rule of law and property rights, nobody will start businesses. The only business is corrupt. Like if I pay off the right people, they'll let me operate until they either kill me or decide they want to do something with somebody else. So that's the problem. You don't get normal economic activity.
So to that point, when the governor decides an essential business and a non-essential business, and the and obviously the ones that lobbyist hardest in his ear to be the essential ones, the big companies, what have you, where they're going to have the greatest influence because of their contributions. That makes sense that they would be the ones that were exempted as it became essential businesses, basically.
They do. That absolutely is. You think about the small store, retail store, but you can go to Target. You can buy your clothes there, but you can't buy your clothes at a downtown dress shop. They're closed.
Well, and you were mentioning it earlier, the market was heading towards internet to start out with.
Sure.
And maybe we just sped up some big, brick and mortar shutting down. But wow, when you decide that your brick and mortars are non-essential, my wife got out shopping yesterday. I mean, real shopping to a brick and mortar.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I missed that.
It's true. And we're all missing a lot of things, but we're heading into summer and it's brighter days, some sunshine. Things are getting better out there. They are.
Yeah. Well,
and we're
going
to move past this. Now, in fairness, we do know that government sometimes has to work, and I'm not saying we shouldn't have shut down. I don't know. Sweden didn't. Some of the states didn't. I don't necessarily think we should have, at least not of course, Blaine County seems like a logical choice, but I think some of the counties could have operated fine, and there's no doubt that this virus will continue to be around for a while, regardless of what we do. It's just going to be here. So you're going to get it or you're not going to get it. It's going to kill you or it won't, and it doesn't seem to kill very many people outside of nursing homes, to be very frank. So we're learning to treat it. We did bend the curve everywhere, but it isn't going away. And so, we can all poke holes at it, but the reality is that we are where we are, but we're opening back up, and I think we need to be thinking forward instead of all the mistakes, because in this, there's lots of them.
The market will adapt, because it always does, but the government interference in the market is a much greater problem, I think, depriving people of property rights.
Lee Joe, I know that's true. Go ahead. Sorry.
People wouldn't be going to stores where they felt unsafe at. And that's how the market works.
Correct.
You have a consumer decision to make, and when Brad decided whatever is non-essential, all of a sudden property rights are denied, individual rights are denied, and the rule of law is gone. And whatever your justification is, you just decided the rule of law is unimportant. And now, economically, your entrepreneurs are on unstable ground.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know where to go, what to do. But the free market would have fixed it all on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, voluntary measures worked before everything happened. 2 days after his great decree, the numbers were falling off like mad.
Mm-hmm.
And it had nothing to do with his decree. It was all the voluntary free market associations before that had the effect.
Yeah, that's true. Nope, it's a good point. It's a valid point.
Thank you.
Lee Joe, thank you. Have a great day. Thanks for calling in. And our number is 580-KIDO. We have to take a break here for Fox News. And when we come back, we've got Jim. A different Jim, it says. It's a different Jim. Jim is such an unusual name, I'm surprised. All right, we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and once again, thank you again for joining us. Appreciate it very much. If you have any comments or questions, want to get a recording or something, that's at petsofinancial.com. We got our podcasts there. Usually, they're up there by Tuesday of the following week. So if you have one you missed, you want to catch it, or you want to forward it to somebody else, then great and groovy. And we also have... not in addition to podcasts, excuse me, we have got articles and calculators on there for you to help yourself with your own financial planning. All right. And also shoot us an email. Let us know what you want us to talk about or touch on. Let's go to Jim. Jim, thanks for calling.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Last week, you commented that this stock market is really a market where it's best to pick individual stocks as opposed to broad swaths in funds of stocks. And I was looking at one brokerage's recommendation for stocks, and they kind of rate them into different quintiles or and with certain ones being the best stocks. And then if you look at the overall web display of those different stocks, it's interesting that the best rated stocks have the worst performance over the last 6 and 12 months at this particular brokerage. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, one, if that's sort of happening, that a lot of brokerage recommendations really haven't held up. And two, is it a factor of how they pick those stocks? What's your thought on that?
Okay, let's start. There's a number of things in there. Let me try to unpack them by answering that question first, okay? Which is the recommendations that different people make. They're usually bad, okay? That's just true. Not bad. They're just no better than the market, and in most cases, a little bit worse. Not bad, like in they're just horrible. But the point there is that we don't know the future, and the market's pretty smart about pricing correctly what investments are worth. And if I can, let me kind of roll that back, jumping back into what you said. You're correct. This is a kind of market where I was certainly implying, not saying that explicitly, that I think you go out and you pick stocks in this and that's the only way you're going to do well. Go ahead and just buy an S&P 500 and if that's what you want to do. That's fine. And we have that as a core in almost all of our models anyway. So we don't think we can go through and be perfect with our picks. My point is when we get into this kind of a market, and again, it's not all or none, that you want to be looking for areas that have it's dangerous, right? You got to feel like it's a little dangerous out there. We don't know what the virus is going to do or how bad it'll come back and how soon it'll be. I'm just not going to bet all the chips that on what I firmly believe, and I think all the evidence shows that this is going to be far less of an ordeal and last a lot shorter period of time than anything in the past, and certainly that the experts originally were telling us. We are just going at this like the Manhattan Project. It is going to get solved quickly because of technology and cooperation we've never seen before, and cooperation from the government, which means this. They're getting out of the way. Government doesn't do anything well. So if they get out of the way, that's cooperation, just getting out of the way. So that's a good thing, and we've never seen that before, where the FDA just steps aside. And very important and for drug testing, things like that. So that part is, to me, I feel very good about, but I'm not going to put them all, you know, I'm not pushing it all in. I'm not going to press it all and say that there isn't some probability of things going very, very sideways here. So having said that, I want to roll that back as part of this and to say, I don't think that there's a problem in my mind with avoiding hotels or minimizing them in a portfolio, right? Hotels, cruise lines, airlines, and just saying, I just don't know right now, but maybe next week I'll know more, or next month, and I can come back. But as far as that goes, this market is really rewarding, and so it's done a great job of already pricing in. The Amazons and Googles of the world are doing well, thank you, and crushing these other companies. Appropriately, it's priced correctly. So you can buy the market, and you already have that. But I would like to diminish it more by focusing even more, if you will, on technology. Okay?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. But going back to those rating of different brokerages of stocks, is it the way that they have picked stocks for their rating services, or that leads to underperformance in your mind?
Yeah, it is. I think that's a great point. You have a couple of different things. You have to be able to sell, if you will, right? You have to be able to sell your clients. And so you're going to be wanting to pick something that has a theme, a thematic that you like. But I think that you and I can do that just as well if we really stop and think about the world. Now, I realize people have their own bias. And if you don't, we all do. But if you can't set it aside, then you really need to try not to do this. But when you look at it, you say, what are the highest quality companies out there? Those are the ones I want to own. And we read and we think about them and we think about what's going on in the world. Is not a thorough analysis of, let's say, Honeywell. But do I think Honeywell is a quality company? They've raised dividends. These are all things you can sort through very easily and come up with the fact that, yes, they do have immense cash flow and they raise their dividends every year. That's a positive for me, okay? So as you're looking at companies like that, they may be down and out, and that's what you're looking for opportunities to add in. But I also want the thematics in there. I want the Internet of Things, robotics, AI, all those things that we're obviously moving towards, but I can't analyze the winners and losers in artificial intelligence. No way I could. So other than the core, the Microsofts, the Googles that are part of all of those things, I think we also want to have extra money put into those pieces. You can do that through exchange-traded funds. But I don't think the brokerage recommendations are the best place to do that. I think you just want the whole group of some of the thematics and overweight those along with the highest quality stocks that are probably not going to kill you, pandemic or not. Okay?
Yeah, thanks so much, Dave.
Jim, thank you. I appreciate your call. You have a great day.
You bet. Bye.
Bye. All right. You know what? We're just about out of time here. Wayne, I am so sorry. We're just not going to get to you today. Can you please call us back? That would be great. I know if you're looking at your watch, you're saying, what's going on? But we've got one commercial break coming up. We missed one earlier. So we're ending that with this. Hey, everybody, seriously, this is something I really want to get across here. This is not over. We're going to have bumps. But we're going to get through to the other side. We really are. And to be trying or being caught in the negativity of it really hurts us. Have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you next week.